So the Bryan School District now has a new discipline program.
Yeah, really what it is an effort to bring consistency across the 24 campuses in the district. Each campus, of course, is different in its own way, but one thing that we want to be consistent with is our disciplinary process. Particularly as a student goes from one school to the next, or as they progress across the years, or as a teacher even moves from one school to another school, knowing what's expected before you even walk in the door is important. And so really refining and bringing consistency to the disciplinary process across the schools is something that we're excited about, and we think it will be a useful guide, as it were, a map process that students can know what's expected of them in advance, and the instructors and the administrators at the school.
Let me butt in for a second. What were the inconsistencies or the issues that were discovered that led to even start thinking about we need to do something?
Well, for example, talking in class or acting up in a hallway, it may bring one level of discipline at one school, and at another school a completely different set of consequences. So really it's to try to say, you know, this behavior at this school generates the same kind of consequence as it does at another school. What we're trying to do, the ultimate goal is to keep children progressing, to keep them disciplined while they're in our facilities, and also to keep them out of the judiciary system. We are implementing some ideas here that are intended to be a graduated process, a tiered level disciplinary system, in that a young person will have some options if they do get out of line in some way before they go straight into a citation system that follows them and that enters them in the judiciary process.
You brought up an example of talking when a student wasn't supposed to. So that something is relatively minor as that would have prompted in some cases an appearance outside the school then?
No, those citations are really more for major offenses. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to take a comprehensive look at discipline from the so-called minor infractions to the more major ones. And there's a graduated system that goes up through levels. And so you may enter, I saw an account where someone had mentioned 10 strikes, 10 levels in the system. And that's not really accurate because you may, if it's a major offense, you may enter the system at a much higher level than something lower on the scale as talking in class or acting up in a hallway.
Well, my limited exposure to this would be over the last couple 3 years, on occasion there would be a parent or a constituent telling the Board of Trustees how unfair it is to have a student go to court for whatever reason. And so that for me was another example why I'm interested in hearing more about this.
Yeah, and really the best thing for a child is to be in an academic setting. So to whatever the greatest extent that we can keep these children in the academic setting, even if they are having to participate in some discipline consequences, that's better for the child, that's better for us. It's much less disruptive in their learning habits over the years, and it's much better for us to not have to have them in the judicial system. That's the last place we really want them to go. So what we've done is we put in some phases in between, say, their discipline encounter and go into that judicial system. Just to expound on that a little bit, one is we called it kind of a campus court in our letter. Maybe that's not maybe the best terminology, but it really is a body of peers, which we've done in the past, kind of a teen court deal that's not on that student's home campus, that the parent would have to agree that the child could go there for privacy issues, of course, and they would be meted out some consequence, like extra study time, maybe have to do a research paper on whatever they got out of line doing. Nothing like a school suspension or anything that that major. They could not mete out a penalty that severe. And then also a Saturday diversion course, which really is kind of a first-time offender program for people who are have made some bad decisions. They would go to a Saturday course with a parent. They would receive some training and be informed about, you know, alternatives and how to express themselves, proper what is expected of them on a daily basis. And we want to try to build in some of these things like Saturday diversion courses rather than immediately a student goes to a citation or immediately they go to our alternative disciplinary school. And it's just, we want to try to capture them and keep them in the academic setting as long as we can.
Depending on the grade level, what are the other types of offenses that are going to apply to this sort of thing, and what sort of offenses will still result in law enforcement action, for instance?
The major top of the line offenses will still involve law enforcement. Major disruptions, fighting usually, any kind of a weapon related offense. Those you would expect law enforcement to get involved in, but we want to make it clear that we do not expect the law enforcement that are in our buildings to be the agents of discipline. That's for our school administrators to handle. So, and they all know that, and they're all working to, from day one, set those expectations so that hopefully we head a lot of this off at the pass.
Let's go back to the peer court thing that's going to start. How are those students selected, and are they high school students? Are they going to be high school students dealing with high school offenders, middle school judges for middle school students, and so on? How does that work?
My understanding is it's primarily the older students that would be selected by an adult sponsor at the school. And they would receive some instructions. They'd be a diverse group of students, and they would be selected by the local campus administrator through a school sponsor.
Who was involved in the process of developing this?
Really kind of a comprehensive look. Our human resources folks work very, very closely with the school administrators, going back and forth developing procedures. This is really a sort of more of a procedural adaptation than anything else. But there's been level involvement throughout all levels of the district, really, but the campus, you can't say enough about the campus administrators who are on the front line every day of education in our classrooms, and so they have been a big part of trying to come up with some outside the box thinking here, and they've been a part of the development of these new procedures.
And if parents have any questions about the new procedures, how do they go about getting those questions answered?
First stop is usually the best stop, the local stop, to start there with the school administration, talk to teachers, talk to administrators at the school. The principals and the assistant principals are there to answer these kinds of questions and talk about the processes that are undertaken. And that's probably the best place to start, is to have that conversation locally.
For students who already have a history, how are they going to be converted over to the new system? I'm presuming that students with a history are not going to be zeroed out and they get to start over again.
Right. We are really trying to implement some early diversions to address those students that are getting into trouble, that are just started maybe to head down a pathway. Each incident is obviously looked at very, very carefully. And if there's a history with a student, then I'd leave that up to the campus administrators to handle. But my thinking is that they are going to take that history into account as they have to, you know the context by which something may be going on.
Any more or less administrative work is going to be involved with this?
There's some coordination aspect with regard to the Saturday diversion course, and setting up some of these other early interventions. But really, it's a drop in the bucket labor-wise compared to a situation where students, and it's a small handful, but any number of students getting out of control is a major disruption. And I think the thinking is to invest in these students early rather than later when there is so much more on the line for them and for us.
The component of parental involvement that's now being required, is this something new?
Well, we know that we can't do this alone. And so I think we've always asked for parents to be involved and to be a partner with us. But I think that having the parents approve going into a peer court type environment, having them come to the Saturday diversion courses gets that extra level of ownership for them. And, they may take a more active role in what's going on with their kiddos if the impact is such that they're having to spend time on it too. And really what we're looking for is partnership with the parents, and that can help stop these scenarios at the very beginning, and then it's better for the families and for the school district as a whole.
Numerically, based on last year's statistics, do you have any sort of count about not necessarily building level, but by high school versus middle school versus so on?
I don't have those numbers up to date, but what we hope to see is a drop. I know we've seen, based on data over the last few years, the numbers starting to come down. How they'll go this year, my expectation would be that they'd go down even further, or that's at least our hope.
And we're still talking about a minority of students. Unfortunately, the relatively one bad apple sort of illustration.
Right. I mean, you'd hope with north of 15,000 students that every one of them was interested in coming to school and learning and, improving their future. And the vast majority of them are. And I know that the district has invested heavily in Capturing Kids' Hearts, which is a training program that really starts at the front door of the school, and capturing kids, their interests, engaging them in learning, and sharing with them the importance of how learning matters the rest of your life. And so we've done a lot of training along that line with our own personnel to, if we can start with a kid in kindergarten or pre-K and show them what the level of expectation is and turn them into a model student over the years, they'll learn better, they'll progress better, those gaps will be closing as we're aiming toward, and then hopefully they'll graduate with a lot of the skills that they need, just some of the interpersonal skills alone, and discipline skills that they need to be successful the rest of their life, and that's the goal, post-secondary success.